Now, the U.S. citizenship test is one of the last steps for people going through the naturalization process, and it's going to look different thanks to some recent changes. For anyone who applied to naturalization after the first of this month, passing the test will require answering more questions correctly and studying up on some new items. Administration officials say the updates are part of ensuring new citizens understand the meaning of U.S. citizenship and American values. Others say there's potential political bias in the changes, and there's extra difficulty for test takers. Stephen Lubit is the Williams Professor of Law at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law. Stephen, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you. Always happy to be in Wisconsin, even by phone.
Before we get into the changes taking effect, can you talk about the role of the citizenship test in the naturalization process?
Sure. Every applicant for naturalization has to appear for an in-person interview with an Immigration and Naturalization Service officer. And there are three parts to the interview. One is confirming under oath the answers that have already been given on the application form, which is called an N-400. The second part is an English test, and the third part is the civics test, and it's the civics test that has been changed.
And what kind of changes are we seeing here?
Well, there are two types of changes. One is that it's been made twice as long. Up until this year, applicants were given 10 questions and passing score was 6. And that has been expanded to 20 questions with a passing score of 12. The universe of questions previously was 100, and that's been expanded up to 128. A bigger change, I think, or at least a comparable change, has been the politicization of the test. That, it, of course, is supposed to be politically neutral, but there's an unquestionable conservative tilt to it in the new test.
And you wrote a piece for Politico pointing out some of those changes with instances you say of political bias. What kind of things are you seeing that that bring a bias to these questions?
Well, yeah, I'll give you two examples. The first one is in the very first line on the study guide. Up until last week, it was called Principles of American Democracy. It's pretty neutral, pretty good idea. It has now been changed to Principles of American Government. Now, I think that's a significant change. Every country has a government, but we're the world's oldest democracy. And just taking that word out of the test, I think, is meaningful. Another major change is the question of two questions about who does a senator or congressperson represent. On the previous test, the correct answer in the study guide were everybody who lives in the district or the state. And that's been changed now to say citizens of the district or the state.
People might hear that and think, well, these sound like cosmetic changes. Are they really that big a deal?
It depends, I guess, on what you think a big deal is. I think the study guide is used by every prospective citizen. Everybody who wants to become a U.S. citizen takes this study guide. They memorize the answers. They learn the answers. And this is a form of not so subtle indoctrination.
You also point out one of the questions you see maybe bringing in some bias, also an inaccuracy. I think it had to do with the influential documents that led up to the Constitution.
Yeah, I think that one's it's almost funny. There are 5 of the 128 questions either ask about or have answers about Federalist Papers, which were documents, advocacy documents written and published in New York in 1787 to convince New Yorkers to adopt the Constitution. But they really come to be sort of iconic and revered in the American conservative movement. But one question says, name a document that influenced the Constitution. And one of the acceptable answers is the Federalist Papers, which were written later than the Constitution, and obviously could not have influenced it.
Talking to Stephen Lubitt from Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law, talking about changes in the exam that's given to naturalized or about to be naturalized citizens of the United States. Some recent changes just kicked in this month, he says, make it more complicated for prospective U.S. citizens, and he says some political bias involved in it. Stephen, who is in charge of this this important step in the naturalization process? Who's the decider of what gets studied and asked on these exams?
There's an office called the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, which is a Department of Homeland Security, and they draft and promulgate the exams, and they're in charge of the revisions.
And does a White House administration have influence potentially over that office?
Well, the administrators are appointed by the president, and I think the White House's hands are all over this. You know, there was a case argued in the U.S. Supreme Court on November 30th in which the Trump administration was arguing that congressional apportionment should be according to the number of citizens who live in a state, rather than the, quote, whole number of persons, which is actually what the Constitution says. And one day after that argument in the U.S. Supreme Court was the effective date of the citizenship test, which changes, again, people to citizens.
Do you think the general principles and attitude on the citizenship test could use a broader reworking, examining what's in there and how we make these changes?
The whole idea that people are going to have to answer 6 or 12 questions to prove that they're going to be good citizens, I think, is actually pretty questionable. For the first 150 years or so, there really wasn't a civics test for people to become citizens. I don't think we've seen any evidence ever that naturalized citizens are insufficiently patriotic or insufficiently knowledgeable. So the whole exercise is really sort of performative. I'm more concerned about the study guide, really, than the test. It's the study guide that will be influencing people's opinions going forward.
Are you hoping the incoming Biden administration re-examines these changes?
Yeah, hope is the right word. You know, this came right at the tail end of the Trump administration, and the previous change was right at the tail end of the Bush 43 administration. So it seems as though this is unlikely to be a high priority. I think the Biden administration is going to have a lot of things they're going to change, need to change, and I don't know that this will be at the top of the list. I do want to say, by the way, that it's kind of odd to have gone from 100 to 128 potential questions. And there's been some speculation that they had really planned on narrowing it down to 100, and then they rushed it into effect when they realized that Trump was not going to have a second term.
In just our last minute, people are already American citizens, will likely never encounter this test. Can you talk about its importance and the study guide's importance just as a reflection of our values?
Well, our values ought to be to embrace immigrants. It's a country of immigrants. It's very important. I think, contrary to our values, to attempt to use that process to influence people politically.
Stephen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be with you. Take care. Bye.
Stephen Lubitt is the Williams Professor of Law at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law. He was with us to look at changes to the U.S. citizenship test that took effect this month and why he sees some political bias figuring into some of the new questions.